Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. We'd like to also ask you to give us a call if you have any questions, or if you'd like to make a comment, or maybe you just want to tell us about one of your frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trail. Right off the bat here today, folks, you all know who gives away that 1 troy ounce silver ingot each week right here on Alaska Gold Trails. Of course, that's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. And a little special message from those folks over there at Oxford, that's your precious metals people, and they want you to know that they will close at noon tomorrow, that's Friday, and reopen at 9 a.m. Tuesday for the big weekend here. So once again, Oxford will close tomorrow at noon and reopen at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. In addition to that, I'd also like to make an announcement regarding gold and how to find it. The University of Alaska Mining Extension will be holding a mini short course on gold prospecting. And once again, that's being held by the UAF Mining Extension. And the cost is $40, and there are books available, but they are optional. And the topics include history of Alaska gold mining, characteristics of gold, small-scale mining methods, deposition of placer gold, panning, sluicing, dredging, and, of course, large-scale mining techniques. That class will start September 8th and end on September 10th. Once again, it's a mini short course. Friday night and Saturday night from 6 to 10 p.m., Sunday, all-day field trip. And if you need more information on that, you can call the UAF Mining Extension, 474-7702, or you could give me a call. That's Jim Madonna at 456-2569, and we'll try to give you more information regarding that class. Once again, it's Friday and Saturday evenings, all-day Sunday field trip. Going to have a great time, September 8th. Through September 10th. So give us a call. Once again, the number is 474-7702 or 456-2569. Now, we're going to have, of course, our contest. And, Jesse, I want to apologize for not leaving the certificate laying on the desk out there for you, as I had promised last week, and instead I took it home with me, but I have now given it to the secretary in the outer office. So if you still need that, pop by and pick it up. Today, let's see, what are we going to do for a contest? Well, I think everybody knows who the sponsors are here on Alaska Gold Trails. You know that there are 6 of them. Tell you what, let's do. Let's make you earn it this week. Really earn it. You, the listening audience, give me a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And you tell me who all 6 of the sponsors are, and then select one of those 6, and you tell me who they are, where they are, and what they do. How's that? Is that a fair deal? Let's see. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Are you ready for this one?
Yeah, this is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. did you get all squared away, Jesse?
Yeah, I just heard you. I was going to ask you about that today.
Oh, don't do it, Jesse. It makes me so nervous.
But anyway, I've got, I think I can give it a shot.
Okay, give it a shot, Jesse.
Yeah, I thought you had more sponsors though, but...
The live, only my sponsors, not the tapes. I just want the live sponsors.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, I was going to say, you've got, of course, B&L Pawn Shop and Killer.
Oh, yeah, we got Killer at B&L, that's for sure.
That's right.
About everybody in town knows Killer now, don't they?
I think so.
Go for it, Jesse.
Okay, and of course, Oxford.
You bet.
Refining. Tip Top Chevrolet.
Tip Top Chevrolet.
OK. Okay.
Three to go, Jesse. Don't get nervous
we
now.
We got Hector.
Ah, Jesse.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Jesse.
The cast sponsor.
Oh, sorry, Jesse. Well, you flunked this one. We'll have to give it, let somebody else try it, okay,
okay.
Buddy? Thanks for the call,
okay.
Jesse, and keep trying, buddy.
Sure.
Bye. Well, at any rate, we still have the lines open. Jesse flunked this week, but I'm sure he's won enough times in the past to have one defeat in the contest. So, Jesse, keep trying there, buddy, because we enjoy having you calling us up here. I wonder if anybody else out there knows who the six sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails are, the live sponsors, and can do an ad for us. So, while we're waiting for those folks to give us a call, let's listen to this.
Hey, Angie, what time is
it? This week is Labor Day Extravaganza Fall Cleanup time at OK Lumber. Listen to these best buys.
Make your fall cleanup easier with a handy portable bagger. Only $4.20. It's like having a butler holding the bag open for you. Lawn seed for fall planting is priced so low you'll want to do the neighbor's lawn too. Lawn mowers, cultivators, always the best buy at OK Lumber. Now you can pick one up and save even more. Limited to stock on hand.
Come in right now to save during OK Lumber's Fall Labor Day Extravaganza.
Ace is the place. 272 Illinois. OK Lumber.
I think the question was too tough, huh? Six sponsors, and tell me all about one of them, where they are, what they do, and who they are. I wonder, well, let's give it one more try. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's me again. I said if no one can answer it, I'll just give it to you anyway.
Okay.
I'll give another try.
Jesse.
Okay, we started with Killer and B&L.
Right.
Oxford.
Right.
Tip-Top Chevrolet.
Tip-Top Chevrolet.
Oh, that's getting tough. Gage Truck and Auto.
Gage Truck and Auto. Been with me forever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mount McKinley Bank.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm taking a shot here, Macaulay's Reaper Graphics.
That's right, Macaulay's Reaper Graphics. Now, Jesse, it's big time now. You're going to do an ad for us. Pick the one you want, buddy.
Well, I think my favorite one here is... B&L Pawn Shop and Killer.
Well, you know what? You've done that ad so many times, I think I'll just have you come on the radio and do it every week for me. How's that? Okay, let's see what you got to say about B&L Pawn Shop, where they are and what they do and all about them.
Okay. Well, some of the services, and I think the neatest and newest one that I really am impressed with is I don't know what you call the service, but you can come in there and leave your valuables there while you go off on vacation. You don't have to worry about something happening to those things, and you come back to town and you go pick your stuff back up.
Yeah, that's just a new service.
Yeah, and I think it's really unique, and it's really, really something that I think is needed. You know, not everybody has a safe deposit box, and this is a way around that sort of thing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course. All the other usual services, you know, you can go pawn something, get some cash right now, and then later on retrieve your goods, so you get out of a tight situation. And it's like a big, hardly used store. You can get all kinds of things. And one of my favorite stories was one of yours, where you went in and got a camera that was just like one of your other cameras. But all your stuff worked on the other one, and that was quite a deal there.
Yeah, that was quite a savings, as a matter of fact. I did make quite a savings on that purchase. They just don't make that camera anymore. They've gone to all automatic cameras, and as a result, my lenses wouldn't fit the automatic cameras, and I would have had to gone out and buy all new lenses along with the camera body. So in this case, they had several... barely used models there that I bought at a tremendous savings.
Right, and you know, like you said, they don't make those single lens reflex cameras, and they're nice to have. Killer will of course make a deal on anything in the store, but the chandelier, as you say.
That's right.
And make an offer, and maybe she'll make a deal anyway, right?
That's right. Jesse, let me just add to that B&L Pawn is located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and their phone number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And as Jesse said, remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. And, Jesse, you know what you got to do? I'm going to promise this time, Jesse. I'm going to deliver this certificate for Juan Troy Al Silver Ingot, courtesy of Oxford Assaying and Refining, to the front desk. You pick it up and then go over to Oxford. They're located where, Jesse? I forgot.
You did, huh?
208 Wendell Street.
208 Wendell.
Okay, Jesse. And I want to thank you much for participating in the show here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jesse.
All right.
Bye now. Well, we had a winner at last. Jesse came through. Well, I guess it's about time we introduced you to my guest again here. That's Bill Boucher. Bill, I'll bring you up to date on Bill. He was born in Nome, Alaska in 1934, and this is my story about Bill, I guess. And he had quite a time. We took a whole hour to get him to age four, and he tells me this is the third or fourth show that he's been on. I might be wearing this poor chap out here, but I'm sure he's still got a lot of interesting stories left to go. And Bill, welcome once again to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you, Jim.
You, I think we were talking about a variety of things last week. I think perhaps one of the big things was the fact that your mother and father, I guess, owned the Nome Nugget at one time. What years were that?
Well, they bought the Nugget during the Second World War, about 1943, somewhere about there. And then my mom sold it, I believe it was 1963. So they had it for about 20 years.
Uh-huh. And you got a great deal of experience in the newspaper business there, everything from selling papers on the street, if I recall correctly, all the way up to setting the type.
Oh, yeah, I set type and ran the press, ran the linotype, did all just about all the things that you can do in a newspaper other than write editorials. That was my mom's bailiwick.
You know, Bill, at one time I had a little experience with newspapers here in Fairbanks. That was back in 1949. I understand one of our big department stores is thinking of closing its doors on January 27th of this year.
Nordstrom.
And that building that occupies the space between 1st and 2nd Avenue there was once the NC Company. And if I recall correctly, the NC Company, the actual store, was in the eastern part of the building, and in the western part of the building was kind of some cubicles used for sleeping accommodations for the people who came into town on occasion. And I remember when I sold the newspaper there that the hottest area for selling newspapers was to run down First Avenue and across Cushman there, and there was a restaurant, if I remember correctly, and we used to hit those restaurants, and then I'd run into NC Company. Well, a couple of the folks in NC would buy papers from me, and then I would go into the back of NC. There was a hallway that kind of led into this cubicle area. Now, this was a kind of a narrow area. It was the cubicles. It kind of looked like bathroom doors, public bathroom doors, if you wish. But inside the cubicle was a little dresser and a bed and enough for a guy to just a sleeping accommodations for the most part. And I would stand at the end of that hall, and I would say, "Anybody want the Daily News Miner paper?" And I'd say it one time, because a lot of these guys were asleep. And then I'd wait for about 30 seconds. And about all of a sudden, all these hands would come over the top of these doors, and they would have money in them. And the paper cost a dime at that time, so I'd go down there and I'd sell the papers to these hands sticking over the door. And every once in a while, there was a quarter in the hand, and some big rough voice behind that door say, "Keep the change." You know, it was kind of a fun environment. And then, of course, at the end of this hallway, now keeping in mind, if you can kind of get this picture, that as you walk down this hallway, on each side there was these cubicles. I guess there were, 12 to 20 of them in here. And it was always the hottest spot to sell papers, because you could get rid of about 20 papers along that stretch in about 15 or 20 minutes. It was real fast. And so each newsboy, each street hawker would try to get their papers first so they could get down to the NC Company and get the big sales. keeping in mind now, I recall that last week you were saying that there were roots, paper roots, in the Gnome Nugget. We had paper roots here at the News Miner, but we also had the street hawkers at that time. And the guys, kids that run out and say, extra, extra, read all about it. But I was one of those guys. And it was kind of a fun and interesting activity for a young kid. You could make a few bucks. You could make a couple of bucks a night, and $2 a day was quite a bit of money.
It was also educational.
Oh, yeah, very educational. Well, Bill, tell us a little bit more. We were also talking about being in high school. I think we got off into a couple of areas that probably were things that happened after high school, but we really didn't finish your high school activities in terms of sports activity, learning activities, and just in general education, all around education, how the school operated and so forth. I understood, I'd like for you to give us a rundown on what the school was like and how many teachers you had, how big the building was and so forth, if you would.
Well, when I was in school in Nome, the building was, I thought it was pretty big. Going back to Nome now, it doesn't look as big as it did. In fact, they've closed it. I guess it got too old. At any rate, all of the classes were in the same building. The grade school was on the first floor, and the high school was on the second floor. School was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a big part of life. But school wasn't everything. There were a lot of activities outside of school that that were important to the learning experience in Nome. For instance, I had a number of trap lines, different times. A couple of years, I had trap lines up Osborne Creek. That did pretty well. Other years, I had trap lines out off the Snake River. That was a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun too. Other things that we did a lot of dog mushing. Of course, I had to do dog mushing along with the trap lines. But from time to time, we had races that, sled races. Of course, most of mine was in the kid class. We were all kids at that time.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
So were you.
These were your school days, were they?
Oh, they sure were.
And how did you do in the sled races? Was there some big competition, or was it just kind of a get-together where everybody participated that had a dog team of any kind?
Well, I think participation was the big thing. Winning was fun, you know. That was neat, but I think participation was the big thing. Enjoying getting out in the cold winter air and mushing the dogs.
Yeah, I can see. I can see why that might be enjoyable. How cold does it get in Nome?
Well, we would race maybe down to 10 below zero is all.
I see. And did you ever win?
Oh, sure. Oh,
you did
sure.
win.
Off and on.
Off and on.
Yeah. I think I won my share.
Uh-huh. And you also mentioned the fact that you had a trap line. Did you take your dog team on the trap line? Did you mush your dogs?
You bet.
You did.
Sure.
Now we're starting to get into that frontier flavor that we're all interested in. Tell us about average day when you would take off on with your dog team and go up and run your line.
Well, oftentimes there wouldn't be anything, you know, in the traps. But most of the time there was muskrat, maybe some marten, a fox or two. One time I remember a wolverine in one of my traps. He was very much alive and very much angry about being there. The only weapon I carried was a single-shot 22 rifle, an old octagon-barreled 22 rifle. And anyway, the dogs didn't want to go anywhere near him, so stopped quite a ways away and staked out the sled and took my 22 rifle up with me and very carefully moved toward the wolverine. When I got up really close, I saw that he had pulled the trap back so that he had lots of room to get to me if he wanted to. So he was at the back end of the chain. And so I knew that if I got too close, he could get me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be very sure because I only had one shot. So with the gun out in front of me, I moved in very cautiously. And about the time I was ready to shoot, he lunged at me. And he put his teeth on the muzzle of the gun as I pulled the trigger. And there are still teeth marks in the barrel of that gun. You bet.
My goodness. Well, what's the moral of this story? Don't fool around with wolverines.
Just be careful.
Uh-huh. I understand that the wolverine is the most vicious animal in Alaska for its weight. Is that
50
correct?
50 pounds of tooth and claw.
Is that right?
Sure.
Is that right? Well, and so how many traps did you have out?
Oh, as many as maybe 20 would be about the most I'd ever have.
When I think about this, Bill, I think about you getting out, your dogs all hitched up, and you take off for Osborne Creek, which is about, what, 5-6 miles out of town?
About 7 miles.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah, and you take off for Osborne Creek, and you have to go across the Nome River, and it's frozen.
Of course.
Right. And you're going up the drainage of Osborne, which is also frozen.
Right.
And you've got your trap set in the brush and small trees?
Yeah, usually right around the pools and little lakes and ponds that are up around the way.
Mm-hmm. And would the animals migrate to those areas because of other animals that would be in the vicinity?
Well, I think they lived right close to where I put my traps.
I see. And
the traps would be right on their normal trails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as close to their dens and living quarters as I could get.
I see. You rascal. And so then you would go from trap to trap and mm-hmm. investigate them. What would happen if, did you find traps sprung often? Or
on occasion, there'd be somebody was smart enough to spring a trap.
Uh-huh.
The wolverines had a tendency to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They would spring the traps, but only once did I catch a wolverine in a trap.
Mm-hmm. Did you, oftentimes, I'm sure that you came to traps that had not been sprung or bothered in any way. Did you just go on by them, or did you rebait them, or what? How was that done?
Sometimes I'd just rebait them and leave them in position. Other times I'd take them out and move them someplace else.
Mm-hmm. What kind of bait would you put in these traps? Is there something special?
Different times, different things. One of my favorite things was bacon rind.
Uh-huh.
It has a good odor to it.
That sounds like something for bear.
Well, it would work for bear, too. But, the bears are usually asleep at that time.
I see. I want to tell the listening audience that we're here with Bill Boucher. If you have a question about Nome or anything else, or want to discuss a topic of interest with Bill, give us a call here. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Be happy to hear from you. And Bill, we're going to be right back after a couple of little messages here.
In the summertime when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, we got living on our mind.
Summertime fun.
Picnics in the sun.
Barbecues.
And popsicles, too.
Good time.
Good food.
Good friends.
Fred Meyer.
Sunshine.
Swim time.
Sand toy.
Beach boy.
Catching waves. Catching bees.
Catch a fish.
What a catch.
Fred Meyer.
We're having good times, living easy in the summer, pretty fine.
Summer nights.
Oh, heater bites.
Mountain hikes.
Flying kites.
Water fights.
Riding bikes.
Suntans.
Sunsets.
Sunrises.
Fred Meyer.
Boat docks.
Boardwalks.
Ocean's breeze.
Sandy feet.
Flopping thongs.
And sing-alongs.
Summer's things.
You'll find it at Freddy's.
We're always happy. Lots of living, yeah, that's our philosophy.
Well, folks, I talked about all my sponsors a little bit today. I want to talk just a little bit about one of the people or one of the sponsors that have been with Alaska Gold Trails ever since it was initiated 2 years ago. And that, of course, is Gabe's Truck and Auto. Now, I've been dealing with Gabe's for many, many years, long before we started Alaska Gold Trails, and I was very pleased, very happy to have, to find that Gabe's was one of the sponsors of this show. And I'd also like to point out that over the years, I found out that a lot of other people and in Fairbanks, Alaska, are also pleased with their service. And this of course, comes around when we do our contest, somebody delivers the information about Gabe's Truck and Auto and gives them a personalized recommendation. And we want you to know that Gabe's Truck and Auto, of course, has been in Fairbanks for a long time, and that they treat, you know, any size rig, an auto, a light truck, or a motorhome, or even a big rig, and that they have been recognized by our Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. We want you to also know that Gabe's has two large shops which are ready to serve you, and in addition to that, they've got 8 mechanics on hand. So, you know, you're going to get fast, courteous service at Gabe's. And they have a variety of services available. In addition to just general engine and vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mountain balance tires. And they got the special new and rebuilt engine system. They come with a 12-month or a 12,000-mile warranty. And the thing that I like best about Gabe's, or I like to say, is that I believe that they were the originator of the no-pass, no-pay policy regarding IM inspections. That's right, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. If your car doesn't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And right now, it's time to start thinking about problems that might occur in the winter. And that's, if you have an emergency in which you need towing service, Gabe's has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156, and I advise many of our listeners to write that number down. Put it in the glove compartment just in case you have an emergency. That's 456-6156. Remember this, folks. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. And tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them. How about it? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I wonder if you'd have your guest tell us his very favorite bear story.
You want my guest to tell us his very favorite bear story?
Yeah.
Okay, sir, do you want to hold on, or you want me to just go ahead and have him?
Oh, just go ahead and talk.
Okay, thank you. Bill, you got the question.
Well, I really only have one favorite bear story. How's that?
Well, I hope only one is your favorite. Maybe you have two favorites. I guess you could have two favorites.
One day I was hiking. I guess I was probably early high school. I was hiking out north of Nome, up on the Grand Central River, up in the hills above the Grand Central River, which runs into Salmon Lake. I was following a trail. I had, I think I had a 20-gauge shotgun with me. I was hunting ptarmigan at the time, and came around on a trail around the side of a round mountain. And around on the trail coming toward me, all of a sudden there was a bear. Good-sized black bear. Well, I stopped immediately upon seeing the bear, and lo and behold, the bear stopped on seeing me, and we just kind of looked at each other. We were about 50 feet apart, just eyeing each other, and wasn't sure which way to move, and I guess he wasn't either, because I kind of backed up slowly, and then I realized he was backed up slowly too. Well, when I was out of sight, I took off and went back the way I came. And I guess he did too, because I never saw him again.
That was the end of the story?
I hope so.
Well, good.
Unless he's still looking for me.
I see. Bill, no other stories. Now, it was kind of interesting about the wolverine.
Yeah.
And you've got a bear story, you got a wolverine story. You got any other animal stories that our folks out there might like to hear about?
Probably, but I don't remember any right off the hand.
You know, I heard that moose really were not did not hang around the Nome area when you first came into Nome. in the early days of your youth, is that right?
In growing up at Nome, I don't remember ever hearing of anyone shooting a moose around Nome area. The older guys that wanted a moose would always come to Fairbanks. They'd fly to Fairbanks and go hunting from here to get a moose. But in later years, since I've been living in Fairbanks, now the moose have moved over there, and I understand that in the last few years they've taken well over 100 a year, which is, mm-hmm. Quite a few, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the moose just wasn't native to that area when I was growing up over there.
Mm-hmm. I remember back about 10 years ago when I was teaching over at Nome, a bunch of the chaps from the class went out moose hunting, and they asked me if I wanted to ride along. I rode along with them, and although my group didn't get a moose, there were several other groups with moose in the back of the truck. I think we spotted 6 or 8 kills that day. And I talked to some of the people at the Fish and Game at that time. They said they were just overpopulated. And I don't know what reason they gave, but they were wanting to thin the moose population at that time.
What a terrible thing.
Yeah, isn't it? Strange, wasn't it? At any rate, anything else about animals that we can get into right quick?
Oh, well, let's see. I guess as far as animals are concerned, I had most of the pets that people have. Almost always had a dog or two or even 5. At one time, we had a dog and a cat and a parakeet and a rabbit, and they all played together.
Yeah. See, wait, give me a dog, a cat, a rabbit, and a parakeet?
Yep, they all played together.
They all played together.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. The parakeet liked to sit on the cat's head, and the cat liked to tease the dog, also like to play with the rabbit's ears.
Sounds unreal.
It was interesting, but they all played together.
That's great.
And one time I was out just hiking around in the country, and I came across a deer falcon that had been evidently shot because it had a broken wing, and I don't know how else it would break its wing, but I managed to catch it because it was just flopping around on the ground. And brought it home. A friend of mine was I guess she was doing her residency at Nome at the time in the hospital. So I took the bird out to her, and together we set the wing and put it in a wool sock. I'm serious. And I kept the bird for quite a while, feeding it and so forth. When I came over here to the university, I brought the bird with me and kept it all winter. And by spring, decided that it had to be well, if it was ever going to get well. So I took the sock off and turned it loose. And for a long time, it didn't fly. It just kind of flopped around, and eventually it flew away.
Oh, he's gone. Well, that was a good Samaritan. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad to hear you did that.
Nice bird.
It was a nice bird. do you know anything about the reindeer herding that was over on the Seward Peninsula? Are you familiar with that at all?
Sure.
Yeah, what happened there? I kind of recall the story a little bit about how they brought them in for economic reasons, wasn't it?
Well, the government felt that there was going to be a mass famine in the North Country because there wouldn't be enough food to feed all the miners. And so they decided to, they figured it would cost too much to just ship a bunch of food up there, so they decided to herd a bunch of reindeer over. And they brought the reindeer over by ship, and then they took them across the country by rail, and another ship up the inland passage to Skagway, and then they herded them up into the interior, and eventually they herded them all the way across Alaska to as far as Nome. I think maybe they even brought some in by ship to Nome too. Mm-hmm. But I guess it took them 2 or 3 years to do all this, and the miners that were going to die of the hunger did or didn't, whatever, because it was a couple of years too late.
Too late. You got a call here, Bill. Hi, on the air.
Yes, I had a call from a friend in Anchorage that wanted to know about Sunrock Mary, the Queen of the Reindeer. I think she was from Nome. Does he know anything about her?
Sunrock Mary. You bet.
Okay, I'll hang up and listen. And would you give me how she came by her name and stuff? Thank you very much.
Well,
as I understand it, she lived at Sunrock, which is one of the names for a river west of Nome that is normally on the maps as the Sunrock River. But most of the stories that I know about Sunrock Mary, I can't tell on the air.
Come on, Bill.
I'm serious. She was before my time.
We're starting to lose our flavor here.
Well, that's all right. I wouldn't want you to have to cut me off. But she was before my time, and all I know is the stories that I've heard, and some are actually written.
Some are actually written?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where would we find this? This is an interesting person. Where would we find information? I'm sure our caller would like to know where they might find the writing or the stories about.
Well, you know, I've read accounts of various exploits, but right this moment I can't remember what books. I'll take it under advisement and let you know later, Jim.
Okay.
But right now I can't remember exactly where I've read it, but I have.
Well, you do the research on that for us, Bill, and I'm sure the rate we're going, you're going to be on for at least another year and a half. So we'll expect you to come back with that information for these folks out here. And the way I understand it, the reading is going to be it'll probably be lively.
At least.
At least. Okay, we're going to take a little break here. I want to talk about some of my friends out here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And one of the friends I want to talk about is Macaulay's Repo Graphics, and you know them. That's 721 Gaffney, and their phone number is 452-8141. And they offer complete engineering and architectural supplies. That's Macaulay's Repo Graphics. And they also have a variety of services, including blueprinting, copying service, and, of course, they have maps over there. Especially of Canada, and they rent and service surveying equipment. I think you should be aware of that, and all the supplies that go with the surveying equipment. In addition, they have a full line of drafting equipment. They're just the racks and racks of templates, and then, of course, pencils and pens for the surveyors and drafters. And I'd also like to point out for the geologist and for the miner that they have fine compasses over there, quality compasses. In addition to, they have the hip chains necessary for laying out distances on the ground for claim lines and any other kind of measuring, ground measuring distances that you might choose to perform. So that's Macaulay's Repo Graphics. Once again, they're located at 721 Gaffney. And if you need information about any kind of that equipment, their phone number is 452-8141. And you tell Rebecca or Alfred over there that you heard Jim Madonna talking about him, would you? Thank you. Also, I want to talk about a chap located at 1916 South Cushman. You know who that guy is? That's Robbie Ginther. And who is he? He's the general manager of Tip Top Chevrolet. Their phone number over there is 452-8211. And if you want to tell him that I've been talking about him, that's okay, too. I can live with that. You know that Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years, and it's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginsters. That's really not news. They've been over there. They're a family-operated business. The people that they've had working for them have been working for them for years, and they've got a great deal of experience, a great deal of background, and they're ready to serve you, not only in their new car department, but also in their used car department, as well as their service department and, of course, their body shop. The folks over there are happy to help you out on any of your questions, and they can sure service those Chevrolets and Buicks. In addition to that, I always like to do Robbie's ad here, and it goes something like this. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup, it's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, folks, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet.
Grubstake Feed 1896 Marika is your full-service Purina dealer. Grubstake has a full line of Purina animal feed. Come on out while Grubstake is having a huge warehouse clearing sale. All feeds are discounted while the supply lasts, including dealer's pride dog food at only $13.95 for a 50-pound bag. To find Grubstake Feed, take Aurora from the fairground and turn right on Marika to the end of the street. Hurry before the sale is over. Grubstake Feed 1896 Marika. Call 456-5930. Grubstake Feed is a Bruce Williams sponsor.
Well, that was nice. We're here with Bill Boucher, and he's just told us about the reindeer and about some of the people who lived on the Seward Peninsula, and he's going to do a little research for us about Mary and get back with us at a later time, I suspect. But will you have something to add on Mary?
Not on Mary, but on the reindeer. The reindeer, even though they didn't arrive in time to save the miners that I guess turned out to be not so hungry after all. Reindeer herding in Alaska became quite a thing in the early days. Eventually, the big business of reindeer herding died out, and it became strictly native herding, which it is today. There are today quite a number of herds on the Seward Peninsula, and meat is sold, and they're doing fairly well.
Oh, good. So it did pay off in the long run.
In the long run.
Yeah. We got a call, Bill. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, excuse me for butting in, Jim. If you want about the reindeer in Nome, you know Al Lovin?
Al who?
Al Lovin.
Oh, yeah. You bet I do.
Well, you know, it was the Lovin brothers that had the reindeer herd over there, and the government ran them out of business. They were furnishing all the stores and restaurants with reindeer meat. Why don't you get a hold of Al Lohman and he can tell you all about it? He's got pictures of it and everything. Of course, he was born and raised in Nome also.
You live in Fairbanks now, Doris?
Well, I don't live in Nome.
I say, does he?
What do you mean, he?
Al Lohman.
Al Lohman is a he.
I love it.
Yeah,
where does he live now, Love?
Well, he lives here in Fairbanks. He used to have UConn Equipment Company.
Okay, kid.
You know, where they sold cases. Of course, they're out of business now, but they sold case products, or machinery.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you really want to know about reindeer, he is the guy that is fully knowledgeable because it was him and his folks that had the packing plant over there, the reindeer Lohman Brothers is what they called it.
Okay. In fact, as I remember seeing that sign on a building.
That's right.
In a picture of Nome.
Right.
That's right, Lohman Brothers. And they also, wasn't that very close to where they used to take in the bullion for shipment?
That's right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
You bet, Jim.
Bye. Well, you know, when you're having fun, time flies. And, you know, I haven't really done all the work that I have to do here, Bill, so you're going to have to excuse me for just a minute because I got some friends I gotta talk about
before
the show's over.
Go ahead.
I want to talk first of all about Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank and Connie Miller over there, of course, who is the assistant vice president of marketing. And I had a friendly little chat with her not too long ago about Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, which has been serving the people and businesses of Fairbanks since 1965. And as many of you may know, being a mutual bank, Mount McKinley has no stockholders. Rather, it's managed by a board of trustees for the benefit, then, of the depositors. Consequently, Mount McKinley has been a community leader in paying high interest rates to their depositors since 1965. They got a lot of services that they offer over there. And if you'd like to know about these services, their phone number is 452-17 1-800-951-5151. And give them a call over there. They're located between 3rd and 4th Avenue with parking on 4th Avenue. And precisely, that's 530 4th Avenue. And once again, they have entrances on both 3rd and 4th. So, stop over there, say hello, tell them you heard Jim and Donna talking about them, or give them a call at 452-1751. That's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. We talked a little bit about Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know them. You know them as your precious metals people. And I want to say just a couple of more words about Oxford. They've been around for a long time. They've been a sponsor of Alaska Gold Trail since its initiation 2 years ago. And they have been the number one buyer of gold here in the Fairbanks area. They are the place where the miners sell their gold. And most of us, of course, know that. But in addition to buying gold, they also sell gold, especially gold nuggets, gold ingots, and investment gold. In addition, they also sell silver as both investment or as presents. And I'd like to point out from a personal point of view, I've had great success in going over to Oxford, picking up some of the silver ingots and silver coins that they have over there and giving them as presents during the Christmas and any festive vacation where a present is in order. And the people who receive these presents are just overjoyed. It's an easy way to give a present. It's something that's long remembered. So if you have a hard time figuring out what to give that someone special, stop over at Oxford Assaying and Refining, and I'm sure that you're going to find something over there that's going to fit the bill. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining. They're located at 208 Wendell Street. Regardless of what you've heard me say in the past, it's still 208 Wendell Street right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number for more information, they can give you much, much more over there. It's 456-3967, and they've got a hotline, 452-7858, that'll provide you with gold, silver, and platinum prices daily. So give them a call over there or stop over and see them. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, and tell them I was talking about them, would you? I'll appreciate it.
Hey, folks, Beanie is back at Club 11, 11 Mile Richardson Highway. That means that the same prime rib and seafood dinners that made Club 11 famous are back also. Club 11 is open for dinner at 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. So take your favorite person out to a prime rib or steak dinner they won't soon forget. Give them a call tonight, 488-6611. Club 11, 11 Mile Richardson Highway.
Bill, do we have a few quick comments that you'd like to make about Nome and the Seward Peninsula, the animal life, or anything special? We got a couple of minutes left here.
I think Nome is kind of a special place to grow up. It was quiet, unassuming. People were friendly. We knew everybody in town. Kind of like Fairbanks was 30 years ago.
I had the good fortune of visiting Nome not too long ago, and I found it exactly that way. It's still a frontier town, isn't it?
It sure is.
And if you just like to visit a town and see a real frontier mining town, I think Nome is it. Now, we just got 1 minute, and you got a call. So, hi, you're on the air. You have a quick question?
Yeah, just a comment. Don't forget it's the finish line for the last great race.
You're right. Iditarod.
You're right. And it looks like that thing's really growing. You're going to even have some Russians this year.
Well, it looks like they're talking about a new race from Nome to way down into the Anadyr.
A new one starting when this year?
Well, they're talking about 1990 or 91 or so, I guess.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, a race from Nome to Russia.
Uh-huh.
1,000 miles.
Wow. That would be good.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, sure would.
I'll watch it.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Bill, the town is, as I see it, is what kind of street does it have?
Well, Main Street is paved today, and so is the road to the airport. But when I was a kid, well, when I was born, the Main Street was planked. It was all wood. Of course, that burned up the same year I was born.
I
And then from then on until a few years ago, it was all just dirt.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of sidewalks?
Well, sidewalks were, when I was growing up, all wood, mm-hmm. planked. And, of course, Main Street now has concrete sidewalks.
And today, if you go to Nome, do you get the frontier flavor when you walk down the street?
I would think so.
You think so? I sure think so. Well, I think it's a great place to visit.
To me, it's just home.
Thanks, Bill, for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today.
Thank you, Jim.
Folks, thanks for joining us on Alaska Gold Trails today. This is KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial right here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. A special session of the OAS, the Organization of American States, was held in Washington today, and the topic was Panama's strongman, General Manuel Noriega. Deputy Secretary of State Lawrence Eagleburger said the U.S. has proof that Noriega...